Well, 5,000, 5K we see fed in Mark 6, and now here in Mark 8 we have 4,000. What's going on with Mark, you might say, and you might be questioning. We've been in our Mark short series. We started looking at the end of Mark and the short, the long version. We looked at the feeding in chapter 6, and then we looked at now looking at the feeding in chapter 8. And as you see there, different sums, different things going on. I don't know if you noticed or had a look closely at it before, but what is happening for Mark here? Is Mark a little bit dyscalculus? Maybe he has dyscalculus and he got his numbers mixed up, like I got my things mixed up then. Maybe he has dysgraphia, you know, when you're writing things and you put them in the wrong order. Does he have dyslexia? More likely, if he's reading it out to a scribe, did he get his stories and his numbers mixed around the wrong way, or is he just got a little bit of dementia and he's repeating a story? What's going on? Have you ever thought about it? Well, here we are. Is this a lesser miracle because there's lesser people, 4,000, and he starts with more resources, if you noticed? Is this less a miracle? Well, I think what is going on here is what I suggested last week, and if you're here with us, in Romans 1, it says, and you've all memorized this, haven't you? It says, Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. And then we have this bit, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. And so we see that played out in the book of Acts as the gospel message goes out from Jerusalem with Jewish people and where the Jewish people centralized, and it goes out to the ends of the earth as we see that played out in the book of Acts. The 5,000 is a more Jewish region where Jesus does the feeding of the 5,000. It's in the northwestern corner of the lake, and we see there the Sea of Galilee, current day Israel, and where modern day Israel is. And then the feeding of the 4,000 is with more Gentile region, and in a Gentile zone, even the Decapolis, which is mentioned there, Deca is, you know, Decathlon, how many is that? Oh, I've worked it out, good. 10 cities, which spread over to the Jordan side, which is the Sea of Galilee on that side, in the northeastern corner on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. So we have 5,000 fed. All of Israel needs to come and feed on Jesus. We have 4,000 fed. All the nations, all the Gentiles, need to come and feed on Jesus. Romans 1, 16. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. We see that being played out even in the book of Mark. Well, the first miracle in the 5,000, how many bits of bread do we have? Sorry, don't look at the board. How many bits of bread do we have? Five loaves, that's right, two fishes. How many basketfuls left over? There's 12 basketfuls, which is a very kind of symbolic Jewish number. There's 12 apostles, there's 12 tribes which make up all of Israel, and maybe a symbol of all of Israel with there. There's Jewish references if you go back to look in chapter 6, because you see not only the leftovers, but we see a reference to Moses as he divides the people into 50s and 100s, which we see Moses doing, Exodus 18, if you want to take note of that. We see him praying like a, you know, Jewish father would over the meal before they start in that section. We see reference to the sheep without a shepherd, which is kind of a reference to Matthew where he says the lost sheep of Israel. And early Christians have seen this meal and the parallels which can have with the Lord's Supper, the Passover meal. So that's the feeding of the 5,000. Feeding of the 4,000, how many loaves were there? Seven loaves, not seven fish. And it tells us that there are a few fish. How many basketfuls left over? There's seven basketfuls. Are we all calling the mass? You're all with us? Good. The seven, when you get to Revelation, is very symbolic of a whole number and a full number and a perfect number of all the nations, maybe. And all the nations needing to come and actually feed on Jesus and his word. Now the chapter in between these two accounts, the chapter in between is chapter 7, yeah? In chapter 7, we see the Jewish Pharisees getting upset about the cleanness or uncleanness of certain people. We see Jesus go and actually talk with a Gentile woman who wants just the scraps that fall off the table. And we also see there Jesus in this Decapolis region, which is mentioned 7:31. You see the mention of that region. Now, in this story of, and in this real event in Mark 8, there is no Jewish references. Why? Because he's actually in the Gentile region. The only Jewish reference, if you go to the very last word, is, can anyone pronounce that? Verse 10, Delmeluther, is that how you say it? Is a place which is aka Magdala, which is on the Jewish side where he's crossed back over to there. So you're getting your bearings and your travels and the movements, and hopefully you're catching up with and keeping up with Jesus. He's moving fast and Mark moves fast pace, right? Lastly to say in this section, we've got our 12 basketfuls. What do we got there? Just to tell you that this is recorded in Mark 8 and it is also recorded in Matthew 15. Now if you remember, the other miracle of the 5,000 is in all the Gospels, but here this 4,000 is just in two of the Gospels accounts. And in Matthew 15, the tax collector, the one who's good with figures and detail, clarifies that it's not 4,000 men only, it's 4,000 men besides the women and the children. All this to say that Jesus brings saving bread to the Jew and to the Gentiles, and all need to come to him. He has compassion on both Jews earlier and Jewish people from Jewish background. He has compassion on people that are from ethnic backgrounds, and all who come to him find his compassion. Have a look, and let's have a look through as we dig into verse 1 of chapter 8, and we see Jesus' provision there. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people, for they have already been with me for 3 days and had nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance." In those first three verses, I just want to pick up one verse in the middle there. We hear about Jesus' compassion, which he has. Now, this compassion is mentioned, and it's mentioned back in the other miracle as well. And this word compassion is that he recognizes and he identifies, recognizes and identifies with the situation, and he actually has a heart for what is happening. He has compassion for the lost sheep in chapter 6, because they were sheep without a shepherd. Sheep don't do well in the wild by themselves. Did you know that? They don't fare well. They don't find, they fear themselves. They find themselves helpless, directionless. They don't really know where the grass is. They don't really know where to get the water is. They need the shepherd to lead them to those things. Interestingly and ironically, in chapter 6, what does it mention? Where the people are, where he does that miracle? They're on the green grass, and they're beside the lake, which is a freshwater lake, the Sea of Galilee. He leads the people to the green pastures and to the waters. Now this word that is mentioned in Greek word that is mentioned is splasnigzoma, if that's how you say it. Splasnigzoma. And it's only used of Jesus in the New Testament and referring to him. It's probably where, I didn't check this up, where you get the word spleen from too. It's inside organ there, and it's where your vital organs are, your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, and that kind of thing, around that region. In Old Testament, the sacrifice and those organs were actually dedicated and given to the priest and designated for them. But what does it mean here? That Jesus is having a real feeling that's going on, we would say gut-wrenching. A gut-wrenching feeling for these people and their circumstance and their situation in chapter 6 and in chapter 8. And so here, as his compassion goes out to these people, I want us to think about our compassion and where our compassion goes out from and where our compassion is up to. One of our ministry leaders has identified that they want to grow in this area of their life, their compassion for others. When I meet with our ministry leaders, we have our 7 C's mentoring sessions happening. And guess what? The next C is... Thank you. Okay. The next C is we're looking at is compassion. And here we see it here. One of our ministry leaders wanted me to pray for them. And I ask each of our ministry leaders where they want to grow in their character. And one of them identified they want to grow in their compassion. Do you want to grow in your compassion? Do you want to develop a greater compassion for people and their circumstances and their situation? I ask you that now, and as we apply this to our life. It's easy, right, to have compassion for people in your similar demographic, your similar age group, and similar background. But when you start crossing backgrounds, crossing generations, or crossing cultures, sometimes it's harder to have compassion for those people, right? I've got to confess, I find it hard to have compassion for people that are whingers. They annoy me. I've got one in my street, and every time I talk to them, it seems that they just whinge. I find it very difficult to have compassion for them and their circumstances and their situation and whatever they're bemoaning about. Do you have similar situations going on for you? Maybe it's people I struggle, people who make life choices and, you know, repeated bad life choices. I struggle to have compassion for people like that as well. Now, here is me confessing to you that, and I need to actually grow in my compassion for people in those circumstances and in those situations. How am I going to grow, and how am I going to actually do that? How is that going to happen? Well, it's actually not me, it's only actually God's Spirit that's going to change me. So this is an act of asking God's Spirit to actually, asking God, Holy Spirit, to give you the eyes of Jesus, to give you the heart of Jesus, and to actually call out to God the Father and say, Lord and Father, will you give me the eyes and give me the heart for these people? And I want to encourage you to do that as we think about our compassion and growing your own compassion and how we might develop in that area and region of our life. Having gut-wrenching feelings for people and their circumstances and their situation and actually responding. You're going to cry out to God for that as well? I hope so. As we move to have a look again at our passage here, we see actually Jesus do this spiritual feeding before he goes on to do this physical feeding. It happened in the chapter before, in chapter 6. He does the same thing. But this time, guess what? They've been fasting for 3 days. For 3 days, they haven't had any food. And the only food that they have had is what Jesus has fed them with, his word. His actually word has been nourishing them. Because what? He is the, if you believe that he is the bread of life, if you believe that man lives not on bread alone, if you believe that you need spiritual sustenance, well, Jesus actually teaches the people and he shares with them here. He nourishes them before he actually moves into the feast of the fish and the fresh bread. Who would have thought, hey? Who would have thought? Even the 12 probably struggled to believe. Even when they've seen what's happened before, maybe they have an inkling of what he's going to do. Maybe they have short-term memory loss, but have a look at verse 4 with me. His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. Seven, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the seven loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they did so. They had a few fish as well. He gave thanks for them also, and he told his disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples picked up seven basketfuls of broken pieces of leftovers. About 4,000 men were present, and having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and he went to the region of Dalmathuna. There we have it. Jesus, again at his work, his disciples maybe not as quick to pick up what he has done. But let's have a think about what's happening here, and let's have a think about this idea of satisfaction. We see they're satisfied in chapter 8. We see they're satisfied in chapter 6. That is, the people weren't just had a snack just to carry them over. No, they were fed, and they were physically fed. And here, as we think about applying this, a spiritual feeding, a physical feeding of people, but also spiritual feeding of people. Physical satisfaction, but physical satisfaction as well. And so I encourage you in action, if you see them hungry, feed them. If you see someone who is hungry, feed them. Whether that's in Ballina, whether that's in Lismore, whether you're interstate, whether you're overseas. If you see them and you can address their physical needs, do so. Show compassion and have compassion on them. But know this, as Jesus reminds us, those that get their fill will be hungry again. And so they need, and he reminds them in John 6, after the feeding miracle, he says to the people who follow after him, he says, don't work for food that will spoil, work for food that will go on into eternal life. Jesus' word to them was, you need more than physical food. You need spiritual sustenance, and he's got that for you. And so in life, people without Jesus are lost. People without Jesus are lost, and so we need to keep pointing them to him. We need to, if we believe that he is the word of life, if he is the bread of life, if he is the living water, then point them to him. Especially if they're hardcore atheists, or if they're spiritually apathetic or oblivious, like a large proportion of white Australian. So many of them have so much physical sustenance that they don't even look into the spiritual sustenance which we need. We're so preoccupied with our foodie stuff that we don't see the need for our spiritual hunger and our spiritual anorexia or starvation which is going on. And so people without Jesus are lost. Are lost. Unsatisfied, my water polo friends who don't know Jesus. Unsatisfied, my friends who are actually coaching in a Austinville football club team, who don't know him. Because all the things that they're grabbing at won't actually satisfy. They might feel for a little while, but they won't satisfy. And all the physical things that they're grabbing at won't fill the spiritual need in which they have. And so as Jesus reminds us in John 6, after the feeding of the 5,000, guess what he says? I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. And so as we finish, I want to ask you these two simple questions. The two simple questions are this: who are the spiritual, thirsty and hungry people around you that God has placed around you? Who are they? Identify who those are. Spiritually hungry, spiritually thirsty people that he has put around you at the moment. And if I was to ask you this second question, which one is the Lord, if you were to ask him right now, which one is the one that he is highlighting to you right now? And maybe I'll ask you to do that, to stop and pray as we finish, and pray that he will put on our heart the one person who really needs to hear about the spiritual sustenance that only Jesus can bring. And as you identify that person, and as the Spirit of God brings them to your mind, I want you to pray with me for them. And I want to see who the Lord leads us to and the conversations which he leads us to this week as we identify those people that he has put and that he's brought to our heart. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord and God, thank you for those people that you'll put upon our mind right now, that you're brought to our heart. We want to lift them up to you and bring them before you. And in your presence, we ask, Lord God, that you may be so generous and so gracious to use us to actually bring the word of life to them, and that they may take a little meal and start even a little entree of what it's like to actually be satisfied by you, Jesus, and your word. And Lord God, that we may actually be able to feed them, direct them to you and the spiritual nourishment that only you can bring. And we ask, Lord God, that you will feed them through us. You say to your disciples, you feed them. And Lord God, may you use us. May we humbly be your servants. May you humbly use us to feed those in which you are placed around us. And this we ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.